Welcome back to Epilogues and Unpacking of the Weekly Haftarah. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. The Haftarah we're going to be learning today is the Haftarah of Parshas Tzav, and it is to be found in Yirmiyahu Perek Zayin Chaf Aleph to Ches Gimel, and at the end are two Psukim in Perek Tes from Psukim Chaf Beis and Chaf Gimel. The context of our Haftarah is the following. This is referring to the first half of the reign of Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim was the king of the area of Yehuda, of Judea, and he was the son of Yoshea HaMelech, put on the throne by the Egyptians. So the Egyptians put him there because he was a yes man. He was going to form an alliance with them, and that's in fact what he did. While the Assyrian Empire was falling, the Babylonian Empire was rising in the north. There were smaller states like Egypt, like Ammon, Moab, Edom, and Israel, or Judea, which were trying to create alliances to stem the tide, the approaching tide of the Babylonian onslaught. And it turns out that Yirmiyahu was not in favor of this. Yirmiyahu is speaking on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says, do not fight the Babylonians. Do not see an alliance in the Egyptians in the south. Be subservient to the Babylonians. You do not have the sufficient spiritual wherewithal to fight them. And Jehoiakim does not listen to him. And it is at this state, while Jehoiakim is turning south to the Egyptians for alliance, he uses the Beis HaMikdash as a guarantee, as a warranty for his program. What he does is he sees that the fact that he still has the Beis HaMikdash, that they're going to bring Korbanos and they'll be saved. Because after all, if he goes back to his great-grandfather, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, when the Assyrians came, when the Assyrian army surrounded Yerushalayim, the army actually failed, was destroyed miraculously, and he sees the fact that the Beis HaMikdash Yerushalayim is going to always save him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the words of Yirmiyahu, turns to Jehoiakim and to the people of that time, and he says that is not going to be the case. And it's a very, very powerful speech over here, very poignantly placed as the Haftarah of Tzav, after we learn about so many of these Karbonas. And Hashem says, and it's just worthwhile, you don't need so many Mefarshim to read, you just need to read the Haftarah, listen to the words over here, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, safu al zivrechem v'ichlu basar, you know, eat all the meat of your carbonus. When the nation of Israel emerged from the land of Egypt, I did not tell them to bring sacrifices. That was not my command. What did I command them? What was so important to me? Listen to my word. I will be your Lord, va'atem tiyuli la'am, you'll be my people, va'alachtem b'chol ha'derech asher atzav eschem l'man yitav lachem, and you're going to walk in my ways and it'll be good for you. And then he goes on to say, but you didn't listen. You went in your own ways, in your own perverted ways, and you followed all these pagan services. And I sent to you people, I sent you Nevi'im, all the days to listen to tell you not to be divergent. You didn't listen to me, you ignored their words, and you became worse and worse. And it's such a powerful description over here is don't think that the Karbonos, don't think that the temple are going to save you. It's not the way it's working. In fact, what Jonathan Sachs is an introduction to the Koren Sachs Siddur, a very powerful observation about the emergence of tefillah, and he says the following, to quote, the transition from sacrifice to prayer was not a sudden development. 1,000 years earlier in his speech at the dedication of the temple, King Solomon had emphasized prayer rather than sacrifice. Through Isaiah, God had said, my house should be a house of prayer for all the peoples. The prophet of Hosea had said, take words with you and return to the Lord. Instead of bulls, we will pay as the offering of our lips. Sacrifice was this external accompaniment of an inner act of heart and mind, thanksgiving, atonement, and so on. Therefore, though the outer act was no longer possible, the inner act remained, and that is how sacrifice turned into prayer. And if you think about that from the perspective, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never wanted the Karbonos alone. He didn't want an external action. He wanted the service of the heart, the listening of the ear to him. And when that was absent and all they had was an external sacrifice, a sacrificial program, a ritual program to guarantee safety from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Hashem says, I don't want that. And in the place of that, in the next section of the Haftarah, from Zayin Chavtes to the end of the Perek, Lamed Gimel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes what's going to be in the absence of that. And it's very powerful, it's very disturbing to hear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu it tells how he is now disgusted by the generation that use all these pagan services, and he describes specifically the activities that are going on in the area of Gay Ben Hinnom, this valley which was used, and how the nation of Israel put these pagan altars there and they sacrificed their children there. This was a Canaanite practice, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Hinei yomim bo'im nu Hashem." I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a time, and it's no longer going to be called the Tofes, the Gay Ben Hinnom. It's not going to be called this pagan area of sacrifice. Ki im Gay Haharega. It's going to be the Valley of Murder, because it's going to be a place of massacre where the bodies of your families are going to be left out to the birds of the heaven and the beasts of the field. The Ein Macharid, no one's going to be afraid. And he says, Vishpati me'are Yehuda mechutzos Yerushalayim kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chason v'kol kal. I'm going to remove, I'm going to annihilate from the cities of Judea and from the outskirts of Jerusalem the voice of singing, the voice of joy, the voice of marriage. And this is going to, obviously, later on, if we move fast forward to Perek Lamed Gimel in Yirmiyahu, when he talks about Oy Yishama Ba'ari Yehuda v'chutzos Yerushalayim, that is referring back to this prophecy of destruction because of the fact that people were only sacrificing and bringing sacrifices and not really serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu or listening to him at all. The Mefarshim of here, like the Malbim points out, that it's not only that there's going to be destruction and pain, but in fact that even in the, he quotes the Chazal who describe and the Yitonah Ketagwa Yonasam in Oziel, who describe that it'll be such an annihilation that even the widows who were the widows of the first round of the massacre will not be able to remarry because they will be destroyed. There'll be nothing to rebuild. Meaning not only will there be a massacre, but there will no longer be marriage to fix, to rebuild afterwards. That's how severe this is going to be because of their perennial disobeying of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the beginning of the first three psukim of Perek Ches, he goes on to describe how they will exhume the bones of the leaders of old. There will be an exhuming of all the bodies of the leaders of Judea, and they will be left in the fields. It will be disgraceful. There will no longer be, there'll be the dung of the field, the nivchar maves mechaim, people will choose death over life, l'chol sheris and isharim, minishbacha ra'a azois, from this terrible family, hidah sheri dachtim sham. It's a very, very painful description over here. And there's a discussion as to whose bones these are. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Vav Amabez, talks about this, and it describes how this is going to happen in the wake of the armies of our enemies who are going to lay siege to Jerusalem, are going to come around, and obviously the cemeteries are outside the city, are going to exhume them as this function as well. It's obviously a worrying description over here, is that it seems that the signs, that red flags for the nation of Israel is when cemeteries are being desecrated. And unfortunately, this is something we see today across Europe and in America, which is a very, very terrifying idea over here. And the question is, isn't that Nivul Ameis? How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this? He commands us not to allow this to happen. Lo yisalin nivul asay ad boiker, the Torah tells us there's Nivul Ameis. So how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu be doing something which itself contravenes the very principles that he tells us? And so the Mitzuras, the Radak, points out that it's referring to all the false leaders, all the false prophets. It's referring to Yoyakim himself and all the Rishayim of his generation. So what Yirmiyahu is saying is, you have acted so badly, you don't even deserve this. You don't even deserve this. Your bodies will be exhumed. You will not have faithful burials. That's what's being described over here. And finally, the Haftorah ends on a more optimistic note, very famous words, Al Yisrael el Chacham b'Chachmosav, Al Yisrael el Gibor b'Gvurasav, Yisrael el Asher b'Ashray, Ki Im V'Zois Yisrael el Misrael el Haskel v'Yadoy. See, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let not the wise person praise his wisdom, or the strong person his strength, or the rich person his riches. Rather, you will find favor, you will find success in knowing me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that seems to close this loop. That's what the message is supposed to be. What are these words mean over here? And the Rashi says, don't think you know better than me. Don't think that you can outsmart me, meaning you're going to use me as an insurance policy to bring sacrifices so you can make alliances with Egypt against my will. That doesn't work. That's what Rashi says. Whereas the Malbim says, don't think anyone else can save you. And this is such a common thing Jews think all the time is, maybe if we just cozy up, maybe if we just are nice to, maybe if we buy political capital with X, Y, and Z, they'll be so nice to us. And time again, we've seen it has failed. Kim Askel Yodayasi. We remember that just before the Six-Day War, the only supply of arms to Israel was France. And of course, they closed up shop. They refused because of the concerns of Arab oil and all the threats and embargoes. They immediately before, as Israel was in desperate need, no longer provided arms. We actually learned the lessons of history, and it didn't start with France. It started much earlier than this. And this is what's being described over here is Haskel V'Yodasi. Hashem says, don't give me fancy footwork. Listen to me. And that's what this is told. And it's such a profound way to learn the Haftarah of Tzav, where we learn so much about the Korbanos, but the Korbanos are the external act reflecting an internal obedience as well. Have a wonderful, meaningful day and a beautiful Shabbat.